Thank you. Orchestra members, once you make your way to your seat, that'll be helpful. Thank you very much. Before Brother Faust comes, and this is something that I think is an answer to prayer, I was asking the Lord to help us. I hope this next spring you'll get to hear Brother Ted Speer, Brother DeMoville, who will possibly be in our areas, providing the COVID will allow them to be with us, and other missionaries. But Brother Faust is used of the Lord in Lima, Peru. He served in this ministry for years, learned Spanish, and then went down to Peru, and God has used him in sweet and supernatural ways. He's here and was planning to go back on Wednesday, and I'm not so sure that's going to happen because of some challenges. But I thought this morning, boy, if he could be here in chapel, I'd like for him to speak for us this morning and challenge us about the need for the world evangelism. What a great song we just heard. You know, here am I, Lord. If you lead me, I'll follow wherever you lead me. And I want the young people to, I don't think all of us are supposed to be worldwide missionaries, but every one of us ought to struggle with the possibility. Every one of us ought to be willing to go. And I am willing at the age of 53. My wife's not ready yet, but I'm just joking. My lovely wife would do that. She's already proven she'll go anywhere but God wants us to go and take on difficult things. But I want to do whatever God wants me to do because that's the best. You can always expect more than you can expect. I want to remind you, though, real quickly of the six principles. I want to make sure all of our freshman class knows this. And the six principles of 1 Timothy, number one, chapter one, keep your doctrine because doctrine determines. Very good. Make prayer a. It's your priority, and it's a priority as a man or woman. And we pray for government leaders because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And may God help us. Chapter 3 is a spiritual. Yeah, winning the lost, discipling those who are saved, and training people to places of maturity so that God can use them furthermore. All of us. There's no success without successors. Can we say that again? There's no success without. Keep on training people. Keep on working on that. If you're a nursery worker, make it a nursery worker. If you're a Sunday school teacher, make it a Sunday school teacher. If you're a bus worker, encourage someone else to be the bus worker that God is helping make you be. Keep on reproducing. Bus captains, reproduce bus captains. These are what we ought to do. Pastors should reproduce other pastors. Let's work on that. Then chapter 4 is to be a godly example. Yeah, because our sermons whisper, but our life. Yeah, what we say is one thing, but our life. If people don't trust you, they will not trust what you tell them. And your example is going on 24/7. Some people say, well, I don't want to live in a glass house. It's where you live, okay? It's where you live, and it's where you want to live. It's you on your difficult day that platforms you to be able to influence with others. And you must be a good example in word, what you say, in conversation, how you live, in charity, how you love, in faith, how you believe, in purity, that you live out pure morals and pure motives, and that God helps us, and then also in spirit, in our good attitude. Chapter 6 revolves around treating people right. Two words I want you to remember. Number one is relationships. Number two is, once again, let's say them together, relationships and God's people and God's leaders must learn to negotiate relationships with wisdom because they get crazy and complex. And you need to have responsibility and to manage relationships. If you're struggling with your mom and your dad, you're going to struggle with older people in your ministry. If you're struggling, if you can't, and it doesn't mean you have to have a fuzzy-wuzzy relationship with them. A relationship's a two-way street, but you've got to do what you're supposed to do. I sat with a couple recently, both graduated right from here, but they're having problems, both of them, with in-laws, okay? And it's crippling their relationship. It's crippling their effectiveness. It's making a beautiful lady a bitter mom. It's making a handsome and a godly man that could be a very great influence. Instead, it's making him a bitter husband because they can't figure out some things. And that's just, those are things that God's given you, roommates. He's given you people at work. He's given you aggravating people within your sphere of influence. Well, who are they? The guy's looking around at you right there. Okay? But learn to take on relationships with relationships and responsibility. Then last, I'd like to encourage you to make sure you manage your finances with wisdom. And there are four principles. Number one, we work how? Diligently. We work diligently. We associate carefully. We live simply or contentedly. And then lastly, we give generously. It's a combination. God blesses working diligently and associating carefully. So some of the guys in the room, you can't keep up with them. They've got deeper pockets than you do. You didn't know their uncle or their aunt, their grandma keeps putting money in their bank, and they're just always going, lum-da-dun, charge, lum-da-dun, charge. They're putting it all like, man. And you're looking at their, you're almost on financial withdrawal, and they're spending money like a drunken sailor. And you're like, I don't know why I can't. I want to do like that. Well, you're different, okay? You're different, and you got to learn to say, okay, I've got to be careful. I can't keep up with them. So when they say yes to stopping here and eat, you might have to say, I'm going to pray and fast in the car, you know. And this is not my day. I don't get to do this today. I can't keep up with that. You have to associate carefully. You have to learn to live simply and contentedly and then give generously. I want to encourage you to be those men, because this is what the Bible says, how young people should behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And thank you for letting me share that with you. Brother Faust, please come, if you would please, and challenge us today. Get your Bible open. Listen carefully. We'll do without the sharing today for the sake of the time frame. I know you want to. You're ready to go, I know. But he's been there, done that, and I want to give him the time. Thank you very much.
Uh-oh. Go ahead and stand, if you would. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. These verses are not chosen by accident, nor to be something trite, considering the world of evangelism. They are chosen with great specific purpose. About 6 months ago, I began to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'd send forth more laborers unto his harvest. I began to ask him where I would find those laborers. The Lord said, go to Hiles Anderson College. Brother Wilkerson can testify, and you can see my text on WhatsApp, that I found out about 7 o'clock this morning that I would be speaking today. But let me assure you that this is no accident. Thank you so much that you're here. I know you all chose to be here today. You came specifically to hear me. Thank you for that. And I appreciate that you've done so. Let me thank you, number one, for being faithful, for being here. Let me take a moment to thank the staff and faculty of Hiles Anderson College. When my oldest, Zachary, who will be coming to join us, was going to go away to college, there was much dissent at the time amongst many friends and people, where to send them, where should they go. And the Lord very strongly urged us in Hiles Anderson College. Thank you. Thank you for staying strong. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for teaching. Many of the same faces are here that I saw when I was in college. And you look even better now than you did back then. But thank you for all that you've done and keeping it going straight. Thank you for you students who've come here seeking God's will. My father had a statement, you can't push a rope. You're willing to be led to where God would lead you, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for all of you who sacrificed to be here, students and staff alike. Many of you come from great distance to make this a reality. Thank you, and I pray that we will not waste your time today. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16 to verse number 20. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And if you would read verse number 17 with me, please. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, for this brief time we have together. Lord, we are amazed that you would come and meet with us, and that you would be here today, that you would orchestrate this meeting so perfectly, so carefully, from so long ago, to put willing hearts and needs together at this time. Thank you, Lord, for this divine appointment. I pray that you would use each of us today in our capacity, Lord, as speaking and as hearing. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would have its will and way, not only in the tongue of the speaker, but in the ear of the hearer. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. What should we do with the Great Commission? It is a challenge that the Lord has put before us, came out from the voice of Christ himself. We find ourselves, so many of us, following Jesus' words. You are like the followers there. In verse 16, it said the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You didn't come here today by accident. Some of you perhaps are fulfilling your 1 year of obligatory service in Hiles Anderson to your parents, or perhaps your parents strong-armed you or coerced you, or like we did with a boy on our bus route from Chicago, Valentin Alvarez, drove him up to the door, dropped him off, kicked him out of the car, and drove away. He's pastoring in South Carolina now and preaches all over the world. You may be one of those, but it is by no accident that you are here today. God brought you here, and you are one of those disciples. You are one of those who came because Jesus has called you. Perhaps you find an image of yourself as well in verse number 17. Perhaps you, like me, sit in this great group before that is before me. I came from Kokomo, Indiana, about 2.5 hours south of here. My pastor, Dr. Mike Holloway. I did not grow up in church. I grew up in a family that was a family in the world. Many times I would go to church and I would hear the preaching and the promises, and I would know that it was from the Word of God, but I have to admit, some part of me doubted. Some part of me doubted as to whether or not that promise applied to me. I looked around the room and I saw my friends who grew up in church, and their mom and their dad was with them, and their family was there at their side, and I wondered if that promise only applied to them or if that promise as well could apply in my life. Many of my family members have been married 4 and 5 times. Many of my family members have been divorced over and over again, and even the family there now live in torment, and they do not know peace in their homes. And I wondered, to be honest, if that was a future that awaited me. I look across the sea of faces and the nods of agreement. Many of you know what it's like at night. Hear your parents arguing and the breaking of dishes, and wake up in the morning and notice the lamp's gone and wonder why. And you sit there today and you wonder if it's real for you as well, this great commission. Let me say that it is. As a matter of fact, when Jesus looked at them and he saw the doubt in their faces, maybe you come from a good family here today and you know what it's like to get up and go to church. As one famous preacher said, I was drugged as a child. I was drugged to church, and I was drugged to Sunday night church, and I was drugged to revival meetings and drugged to choir practice. And maybe you know what it's like to grow up that way, and God bless you. I'm glad you do. And God has a plan for you. Wherever you're at today, whatever the doubt may be filling your life, let me say that God, too, wants to use you for his great commission. He answers the question very quickly in verse number 18 and says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. God does not ask us to go in our own power to reach this world. If you do, it will be a futile, frustrating exercise. You will not find that you yourself are capable. So many times we make the mistake as a young man or as a young person, and we're strong and we feel like we can do this. And many times we have the superhero syndrome of, I can do this, I can make this happen, I can go. The moment you step out for God, you will find out very quickly that you are not enough. There is nothing about you that can change this world. Your smile, your swagger, everything about you is not enough to make the Great Commission come as a reality. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It is only through that power and realizing your total and complete insufficiency and incompetence and inability to complete the Great Commission can that Great Commission be done. When you realize that your route needs a much better captain than you, when you realize your classroom needs a much better teacher than you, when you realize your home needs a much better husband than you and a much better wife than you, and it drives you to find the answer. Amen. As a young person, you need to find your answer in the woods. I don't know if it's still allowed to go out to the woods behind the gym or not, but if it is, that's where you need to find it. I remember the day Brother Fish caught me coming back from, I'd crossed the road, I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to be there. And he came over in the little gator, he was helping out on ground time. He said, Brother Faust, you know you can't be here. Yes, sir, sorry, I was out in the back in the woods. I don't find the answer to the family, to the life and the problems I have in who I am myself. I must find it in Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore. Amen. There's a nation, there's a world, there's a place that needs you. Let me say that you only truly believe that which moves you to action. You only truly believe that which moves you to action. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Are you going? You don't find in the Bible where he says stay. He says go. Now go for you maybe go here. Go for you maybe go in Crown Point. Go for you maybe go in East Chicago. It may be go in Chicago. It may be go in the north side or the south side. It may be go to Ashland or Damon or Kedzie, or Holman Avenue, or 26th, or La Vieta, or Pilsen. God may tell you to go, but when God says go, he says go. That means you have to get up, you have to go, you have to be a part of that great commission. Going for you may be in Indianapolis, going for you may be in Kokomo, going for you may be in Massachusetts, maybe in Boston, it may be in Los Angeles, but you must go where God tells you to go. You only truly believe that which moves you to action. The Great Commission is an overwhelming concept delivered by the sovereign God that should drive us to fulfill his orders. The Great Commission in a military sense are those set of orders, those parameters that we must follow above all else. And when I don't know what to do, what should I do? In my office that I have in Lima, Peru, there came a time in our team where there was some confusion and what are orders and where do we go? And I remember sitting down and pulling out a little blank sheet of paper and I wrote in there, what do I do now? And it wasn't hard to figure it out when I went into the Bible to figure out what it was. It was that Great Commission, go. And I had to get up out of my office and go out that door and go find someone to witness to for Christ. This past Sunday, I was here in America. And on Saturday, the church had an outreach. I get a report that the church saw 19 people saved and outreach to a local community. They've learned to go. They learned that from this place at Hiles Anderson. They learned that from First Baptist Church. They've never seen it. They've never been here. But this concept of fulfilling this great commission, this overwhelming thought by God that we must complete, has reached them even there. My wife and I, with our boys, had the privilege to go to Iquitos in the jungles of Peru. We got on a boat and went up a river about an hour to a little albergue, a home, a boys' home up on the river. They asked us to teach seminary there for a week. So there we are standing at a building in the middle of the jungle teaching the seminary. About halfway through the week, a pastor shows up and he says, are you the one? Well, I don't know why. He says, are you the one? I said, what do you mean? He said, are you the one that's from First Baptist Church of Hammond? How do you know First Baptist Church Hammond? That's where Brother Hiles was, and that's where the work's going in Hiles Anderson College. I'm just looking at him, deep in the heart of the jungle. How did you hear about this? He said, that's what we need here. Will you come back? Will you keep teaching us? Go ye therefore. The Great Commission is an overwhelming concept delivered by the sovereign God that should drive us to fulfill his orders. The Great Commission is to be fulfilled at our highest. It is our highest order to be carried out at any cost. The Great Commission is to be the guiding principle in every action that we undertake. No action, no program, no procedure in our church, in our teaching, in our training should have anything to do or any time at all if it does not help fulfill the Great Commission. I love the orchestra, I love the flowers, I love the Christmas trees, I love the pulpit, but everything that is done must be done to help fulfill that Great Commission. I love a pretty church. Walk into Brother Pointer's church in Greenwood, beautiful fireplace in the entrance. You walk in and you feel at home. There's nothing wrong with that. It helps fulfill that Great Commission. Everything I do, everything I dress, everything I say should point towards that Great Commission. The overwhelming concept of the Great Commission is to complete. The overwhelming concept of the Great Commission is my complete and total inability to complete it. As I look at the Great Commission, I see that God wants me to go to the ends of the earth with that gospel. And let me tell you, I believe that the Great Commission for me is a personal responsibility. I do not mean that it is a corporate responsibility. I do believe it is. And I thank you for all of you who pray and get behind us. But I believe it is a personal responsibility. You do what you're going to do, but God told me to go to the ends of the earth. Now, I can only go so far. I can only step so far. I love what Pastor said. He preached the whole sermon before I got here. I wanted to say, amen, let's pray and go home. The arrows go where the archer will never reach. You will go places, you will see people that I will never meet in my life. And thank you for that. If this Great Commission is so great, and if it does demand that I complete it, but I cannot complete it, what should we do about it? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Yeah. I have to confess, so often it becomes easy to complain and to gripe and to wonder, and why isn't this, and why isn't that, and why isn't this there? And yet God gives us the very solution here to pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me assure you, it is his harvest. It is not ours. It ain't all about you, Spanky, as our pastor says so often. It is his harvest. And he wants his harvest to be harvested much more than you do. I love growing up in Indiana. Harvest time in the corn, you drive through the cornfields and you see 6-8 combines side by side harvesting the corn. Trucks behind there. These men will work for days on end. You look over about noon and the wife drives out in the field with her pickup truck. And they're sitting on the back of the truck eating lunch because they're only going to stop for a minute, get right back in the tractor and keep on going. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Please make no mistake about it. Let me not lead you to any wrong conclusions. I am here today on behalf of an almighty God asking you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Put aside whatever has your attention and take up your cross. I do not know you today, the most of you. I do not know where you're from. Many of you I've gotten to see on deputation or visits around this country. Maybe you're here for a year, maybe you're here for three, maybe you're here for four, but you're not sure what God wants you to do. Let me assure you, God wants you to serve him. You're sitting here today full of doubt, full of wonder. Could God even use me? What would he let me do? If I serve him, is he going to do something with me? I want to do something great in this world. Let me assure you, there is nothing greater than the Great Commission. And God has a purpose and a place and a plan for you. Would you serve him today? I would not ask you to come to Lima, Peru. I would not ask you to come to a mission field where I'm serving. I would only ask that you would serve God where he would call you. There is no higher calling, no greater place than following the Holy Spirit of God to where he would plant you and put you to serve. Thank you very much, Pastor.
Is God speaking to you? Are you ready to deny yourself? Has God been giving you a quiet voice? I want to encourage you to surrender. Learn a language. Ask God, Lord, if you keep me here, I'll stay. But if you'll let me go, I'll go. Let's stand together and let's respond to the Lord. If God's spoken to your heart, this would be a good time. Say, Pastor, I'm not going to surrender to be a missionary now. I want you to surrender to do whatever God wants you to do. There are many people who need somebody. Someone else is going to balance their checkbook and make their investments. Someone else can build their house. Somebody else can fix their cabinets and remodel their bathroom. You're being trained to do something for God. How do you feel right now? Do you feel cold? Do you feel non-responsive? Does it matter to you, all ye that pass by? He's gone the miles down the Amazon River and seen village after village. Hear about Jesus. One man in Africa said, I wake up in the morning, I see the smoke of 1,000 villages that do not know Jesus. You're amazing young people. Just be willing.